And we're hoping that that will work out. There's some issues with that. Do you know that go to Israel is like a 11-hour plane trip? Yow. Sit like this for 11 hours. I can't even fathom that part, but I think that'll be a fun thing. Yeah, if you're interested in that, get a hold of me. I'll tell you the dates and stuff. I don't know. There was a guy that was a pastor here in town for several years that does trips to Israel. He's a chaplain in the Navy, I believe, either Navy or Air Force, and he organizes some trips to Israel, and we hooked up with him. That's how we got this going. 4th of July, yeah, pardon me, Bill Macea, I think some of you know Bill Macea. 4th of July, we celebrate our country's freedom, don't we? Say America. America. Yeah, gosh, it's a room full of rednecks. Did you catch it? Everybody said that really good. America, we celebrate our freedom. We also ought to celebrate our freedom to follow Jesus. Because we are free of sin, that God, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, He sets us free from the slavery of sin so that we have a choice whether or not to follow God in everything that we do. I want to teach you a word, maybe you've heard this before. It's a new word to me that I learned this week. It's called syncretism. Say that with me, syncretism. Syncretism, yeah, syncretism. How many of you have ever driven a stick shift car? Manual shifting automobile. I mean, yeah. Do you know that there is a little brass gear? It's only about this wide, not very big, and only about this high. It's called a synchronizer. Now, the gears on a transmission, and they're all kinds of different sizes, depends on the car or truck or whatever, but the gears are about this big, and the synchronizers are about this big. The gears have teeth on them that are what do you call that, kind of sideways. Synchronizers on a synchronizer gear just have teeth that kind of stand up. And they're right before the gears, so that when you select one gear to another, a synchronizer meshes with that gear and causes the next gear to match the speed of the gear that you're coming out of to the gear that you're going in. Because this gear may be sitting still. This one's spinning like crazy, and you change gears, and it has to get this one spinning before they can mesh. And so a synchronizer does that. And if you've ever driven a big truck, they don't use synchronizers. So you have to push the clutch in, pull them into neutral, push the clutch in again, and pull them into the next gear. And it's called double clutching. You ever heard anybody talk about double clutching? It's why you hear semis grind the gears every once in a while. Sometimes they have to stop and start all over again because they're not synchronized. This word synchronism has the same root word as a synchronizer in a gear. And you know what? What the word syncretism means is that it helps you to easily go from this into this. And some things that's a really good thing, but some things that's a really bad thing for you to easily go from this into this. How many of you know that sometimes you can easily go into from following God to sinning with the devil? Don't name no names or point at no fingers, you know. But you can easily do that, can't you? That's what had taken place in the church at Colossus. I want to talk to you about the passage of Scripture in Colossians. It's Paul's letter to the church at Colossus. In the second chapter, and we're looking at this, syncretism had crept into the lives of the Christians at Colossae. They had combined Greek thought, Judaism, and paganism with Christian truth. And the end result was no truth, no abundant life, and if it continued, no salvation. Because what would happen is that if this generation knew about God and followed God and was aligning with His truth, but because of syncretism had taken place, and now this generation began to mix in with this generation things of the politics of the day or some of the things that the social life had. And so now this group has got Christianity and they've got other beliefs that in America today, do you know that you're not supposed to talk about someone else's belief being wrong? I mean, you can't do that because that's just not right. That's not fair. And their ideologies, we just have to adapt them into our lives because that's not fair either if we do those kind of things. So you started with truth. Now you got to water down truth. Now when you pass it to this generation, you know what you pass to them? Worthlessness. It has no power to save because it has been so polluted and diluted that there's nothing left. And that's what was happening at Colossae. How many know that's what's happening today in America? It's happening, isn't it? And you know what? It's been happening for centuries. It's just, I think that it's just more, maybe more abundantly clear to us because we're a people from here. And we're hearing it here. But I'm telling you what, if it doesn't stop here, this group has no chance. And stop and think about that. That if our generation, if us in this room don't hang on to the truths of God, if we let syncretism take us so easily from one gear to another, and we allow that shift to take place in our lives, what we pass on to our next generation of people is going to have no value. No value of an abundant life. No value of salvation. It's just going to be a bunch of worthless garbage. And Paul saw that at the church of Colossae. And so he wrote this letter to the people at Colossae to address that. And I encourage you to read this book of Colossians. It's really short. It's just a few chapters. And it probably take you 10, 15 minutes to read it. But it has some valuable truths in it. I want to look at just verses 6 through 15. Here today in the second chapter. The first thing that he was talking about how to keep syncretism, how to keep this from happening, is to let your life be built on Christ. I think that's important. Let your life be built on Christ. Everything that you do and say and you who you are, what you're being, needs to be built on Christ. There's what he wrote in the scripture. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with His thankfulness. Do you understand that? If we treat these three sections in our church like generations, it's what he was addressing to this generation. Is he was saying, let the things that you know, your roots grow down into you. Let your lives be built on Christ. And just hang in there to what you have. Don't let it be polluted to someone else because syncretism is trying to teach this group something different. And if they're not good at passing that on, there's going to be some issues. You know, this passage of Scripture speaks to? It speaks of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people, when you talk to them, they will say to you, how can you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You can't see Him, touch Him, smell Him. The senses, I mean, you can feel Him. Yeah, but maybe some people know. But say, how can I have a personal relationship with someone that I can't see, touch, smell, I can't rub shoulders with, I can't audibly talk to, I have no face-to-face time. How can I have a personal relationship with them? But you know what? Those same people follow all kinds of political things. They follow all kinds of ideologies. They follow all kinds of people into all kinds of crazy stuff. I was talking to my mom this week, and I have no idea what kind of television she watches. I think I'm going to go out to her house and censor her TV or something. I don't know what she watches, but she said, have you heard what our crazy president is doing again? And, oh, no, no. First she said, are you going to watch the parade today? And it was on the 4th of July when I got, and I said, what parade, Mom? And she said, oh, there's a parade in Washington. Have you heard what our crazy president's doing? And I said, no, Mom, what's he doing? She said, well, he's doing a parade with all kinds of military things, with tanks and jets and all kinds of military people and stuff like that, and costing us millions and millions and millions of dollars and just wasting it. And he's doing it with nobody's permission. And it has no planning behind it. And I thought, and I even said to her, Mom, are militaries involved with planes and tanks and people marching and all kinds of military equipment? Yes. I said, well, it has to have planning. I mean, think about that for a minute. And oh, my goodness, was she upset. And about the all kinds of money that it costs. Well, hey, listen, anything that our government does costs a fortune. And there are all kinds of parades for gay pride. There are all kinds of parades for abortions. There are all kinds of parades for stuff like that that happened in Washington, D.C. that cost us millions of dollars. It happens all the time. And, you know, if we're going to do something like this, okay, now listen, this isn't a speech for or against any presidential candidate. What I'm saying is that my mom was allowing syncretism to take her from here to here. And, you know, what I thought to myself is that Luann and I don't watch public television anymore. We haven't watched public TV in 3 or 4 years. I mean, we watch, Luann watches HGTV and some stuff like that, but I haven't watched a news channel in forever. You know why? Because it was full of syncretism. I don't know what's truth. I have no way of knowing it. And so they take what I know to be true and they contort it until pretty soon I've got truth mixed with something other than truth, ideologies, and all kinds of garbage, and I can't afford to pass it on. Not only for my generation, but folks, I have a responsibility to you, true? And I can't afford to be corrupted with stuff that has no value, that's taught as if it's truth, that would pull me away from the truth so that I pass something on that isn't truth. And it's a difficult, difficult time in our lives. We've all experienced these. All of us have. We know what they are. The influence that our media has is amazing. Communication is better across the world than it's ever been. I have a friend, Luann and I have some friends that are involved in a mission field in third world countries where the gospel's not allowed to be preached. And what they're doing is this really cool thing. They put these solar, how many of you have seen those heaters, those gas heaters that you put a propane tank down here and it's got this long stem and then a bonnet at the top of it and it puts gas down? It's something similar to that, and they put them out in desert areas with solar tops on them and plug-ins where you can charge a cell phone. Because almost everyone in the world has cell phones, even those who have no electricity to charge them. And so they put them in the desert, and what the people do is that they go there in the evening when the sun is not hot, and they gather around these things, and they plug their cell phones in and charge their cell phones. Well, what they also do at this thing is they have a satellite receiver, and it broadcasts Christian teaching and Christian music in their language. And so they are able to bring the gospel to those people who will charge their cell phones. And listen, those people do anything to get their cell phone charged. They don't care what they... And then they send people in to minister to them in all kinds of different ways. What an ingenious way of sharing the gospel, huh? Whatever that it takes to do something, to share the truth, is I think that what we ought to do. And that we could teach truth into the lives of people. These were exactly the things that we talked about just a moment ago that the Christians were facing in the New Testament church that Paul was addressing. So let your faith be built in Christ if you want to avoid what syncretism can do with you. The second thing that to avoid or to stave off the syncretism taking you somewhere else is don't follow corrupted teachings. And we talked about that just a minute, but here's what Paul said. Don't let anyone capture you with the empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Do you know that there are some people, there are some churches, some denominations that says that the Bible needs to be revised because it's not for our times? I don't think that you could ever read a more timely passage than this. Listen again. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. I mean, is that today or what? That could be a headline in the news today. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Paul was telling the people that in Christ you have all you need to live a life that's complete and abundant. You don't need anything else. All that you need is in Christ. And you may be thinking, how in the world can all that you need be made in Christ? Because the author of the one of Christ, he is the author of our lives, is also the creator of our lives. He made us. So who better go to than the one that created us and made us and knit us together? Who better to go to for advice than him? I mean, man, there's no place better to go to than that. Isn't that correct? And he was telling the people, you need to listen to God, listen to his word, follow him into everything that you do. Don't follow corrupted thinking. You don't need the media to tell you how to be accepted in society. You don't need that. Or what you must have to give value to your life. God gives value to you just the way you are because that's the way he created you to be. And instead, we take the precious thing that he created, you, and we contaminate it with man-made ideas and perceptions. And let me give you an illustration of that. We can read this in 2 Corinthians. I believe it's there in your bulletins. Do we have it on the screen? For we know that when this earthly tent, when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven and an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Is that cool or what? Let me read it again. We know that when this earthly tent we live in, now God refers to us a lot of times as living in this tent because it's not a permanent dwelling, this body that we live in here on earth. One day it's going to die and decay and go away. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get a new body. We will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Okay, how many of you know what that body's going to look like? Nobody, right? Nobody's going to know what it looks like. Now, do you know this? That the body that you have right now is the one that God put together just especially for you. No one else has your exact DNA. God made you the way that he made you, because he made you different than anybody else on this earth. Isn't that amazing? No two people alike. He made that many different people specifically to be you. But we have media and everyone else telling us what we ought to look like. What's a 10? Isn't that crazy? We don't even know what a perfect body looks like. yet we will let people dictate to us what a perfect body is. What makes us attractive? What gives us value? What makes us worthwhile in our society? Why do we listen to that kind of corrupted teaching? Where is any value in that? Where does that get us? I believe from reading Scripture that a perfect body is going to look just like mine. You know what? When we get to heaven, it's going to be perfect. Amen? The perfection has come. I think the idea that when we walk in the very presence of God and we're with God in His presence every day, we're going to care less about what each other look like. We're so mesmerized with God. I've got this picture in my mind of the first 10,000 years that I'm in heaven, I'm going to be going like this. And then maybe the next 2,000 or 3,000, I'll be able to go, wow. You know, because it's so magnificent, so wonderful. Let God be your guide. Let God be. Don't follow corrupted teaching. If you want to avoid syncretism, let God be your guide. And then the last thing, celebrate your freedom by using it for godly purposes. Here's how Paul said this, and I want to close this with this. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed the spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your old sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Good place here for a... Amen. Barb, do you see on that screen off to the right there, about two-thirds of the way down, the one above that one? There. Is that cool? Let's do it again. Are you ready, Barb? When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? Can cue an amen. That's like cue clapping, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. You were dead because of your sin, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And those are the things that we should be celebrating. And then we should be celebrating and using those good things that God has given us for godly purposes. And they ought to be for the glory of God. You have everything that's needed for life, for an abundant life through Jesus Christ. We're given His Word to teach us how to deal with life here on this earth and beyond this earth into eternity. Yet we allow all kinds of other influence to govern how we live and love, how we act and react, how we make ourselves judge and jury, and the consequences of fret and worry. And I wonder why we do that. God is calling us to simpler lives. He's calling us to the truth. Jesus is Lord, and through Him you can have an abundant life here on this earth. You know that to be true? Because of Him, you can have an abundant life here on this earth, regardless of your circumstances. Now, you may have misinterpreted what I've said right then, but I want to carefully say it to you. I want to carefully say it to you, okay? Because if they don't maintain what they do, and they pass it on to this group, and this group passes on something worthless to you, this is most important to you. Jesus is Lord, and through Him, you can have an abundant life here on this earth, regardless of your circumstances. Now, what will be passed on to you is that you will hear people saying this. Christians teach you that if you love God, everything's going to be perfect from there on. And you'll have no more troubles or sorrows. But that's not what I said. So if they try to tell you that, you need to put that away, because the truth of what God said is that you can have an abundant life regardless of your circumstances. You know, your world may be falling apart around you, and there is still hope. And hope is what gives us an abundant life. I spent some time with Irv this past week, and Irv and Pauline, like Luann and I, they don't do anything apart from each other. They're joined at the hip, Siamese twins. And there are a lot of you in this room that are that way. And Irv told me that he's just incredibly hurt, and I think that you can get a sense of that. None of us knows what that's like for him, but he's incredibly hurt. And he said, I'm so torn between the idea that I know that my buddy is in heaven today and she's well and all is good with her, and missing her so badly and I can't hardly stand it. I'm just torn. He said they used to have arguments about who was going to die first. And Luann and I have had those conversations about who was going to die first. Luann said, you're going to have to die first because you wouldn't be able to tie your shoes without me. And that's true. That is absolutely true. Said, I don't know how you'd make it through a day. And that was kind of a joke. When I come home from the hospice inpatient center, Luann said, I don't want to ever hurt that bad in my life. And Irv said to me, I'm glad that Pauline died first, because I don't ever want her to hurt this bad. I love her too much. Wow. Is that sacrificing? Now, listen, what I just said is that you can have an abundant life regardless of your circumstances. Is it perfect? Nope. Can you find hope? Yep. Is there something to help you move forward? Absolutely. Denny? Irv, there's some of us here in the church that like to shoot guns, and Irv would go with us out to the conservation club and shoot. Pauline come along, and Pauline got her own gun. It's got a pink handle, and I'm telling you what, Pauline can shoot that gun too. She's really good. She's a good shot. And I said to Irv this week, I said, Irv, you think that Pauline really liked to do that with us? Or do you think that she just loved you? And he thought for a minute and he said, probably that she just loved me. I never gave that much thought, but she was a really good shot. You can have horrible circumstance and still have an abundant life. The only way for Irv not to hurt so deeply is not to have loved so deeply. And we talked about that, and he said he wouldn't trade that for anything. Do you see, there's still an abundant life. Through Jesus Christ, we have everything. Don't let syncretism steal it away from you until you are so confused about truth that you have nothing of value to pass on. Don't let that happen in your lives. And there's some things just in this short passage of Scripture that we can be living out in a way of a personal relationship with Jesus that can stop that kind of thing from happening. We're glad for the Word. Amen? We're glad for Jesus and for the hope of an eternal life that one day we'll all be gathered together again in a perfect body. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. The gift of the Holy Spirit is so precious. And Father,